We shall start with a peace chant, Shanti Mantra from the Bhagavatam. This is on page 104 in the book Universal Prayers. Om Yam Brahma Varunendra Rudra Marutaha Stunvanti divyaistavaihi Vedaih Sangapadakramopanishadair Gayanteyam Samagaha Dhyanavasthita tadgatena manasa Pashyanteyam yogino Yasyantam navidussura suragana Devayatasmai namaha. Salutations to that effulgent being whom Brahma and other gods praise with divine hymns, whom the singers of the Sama glorify by the Vedas and their auxiliaries, repeating the words in a particular order along with the Upanishads, whom the yogins realize through deep meditation with their minds wholly absorbed in him, and whose extent neither the gods nor demons can know. Our humble salutations to the Supreme Being. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Peace. Peace be within us all. Peace and harmony be amongst all beings. Peace be everywhere in nature. Today is a very auspicious day. The birthday of Swami Yogananda, one of the disciples of Sri Ramakrishna. On this holy occasion, let us understand Sri Ramakrishna's teaching of devotion. In the Bhagavatam, there is a section where the great sage Kapila gives detailed instructions. One of the things he said there was that the paths people follow for God realization are different in different ages. All our sages' scriptures have been saying that the main purpose of human life is to realize God. Our destiny is to manifest our divinity. That's our destiny. We have to reach that. And to reach that goal, people have followed different methods at different times. So the sage Kapila says in the Krita Yuga, the earliest age, earliest of the yugas, Krita Yuga, the main path that people followed was the path of meditation, upasana, as prescribed in the Upanishads. In the Chandogya Upanishad, there is a passage which says that this whole visible universe is nothing other than the ultimate reality called Brahman in the Upanishads. And one has to meditate on that ultimate reality with a calm, undisturbed mind. Sarvam kalavidam brahma tajjalan iti shanta upasita. That Brahman is the source of everything. Everything comes, emanates, whole universe emanates from Brahman. It is sustained by that reality we call Brahman, and everything receives back into it at the end of the creation cycle. And on that ultimate reality, Brahman, one should meditate with a calm mind. Shanta upasita. This is what the majority of seekers were doing in the earliest times. Sri Ramakrishna talks about this one. Sri Ramakrishna said that the seekers those days used to live in hermitages. They would get up early in the morning, go into the forest and meditate deeply all day. Their meditation was very deep, like a stream of oil that flows without any break. Tailadharavat Amichinnam. Just to meditate all day. At the end of the day, they would return to their hermitages, eat some fruits, whatever was available, and get some sleep. Next day, the same thing. They would get up early in the morning, go into the forest, sit down under a tree, and meditate deeply all day on that reality. This is a difficult path. You cannot do that one. To meditate on the ultimate reality, Brahman, one has to have a strong sense of discrimination between what is real, worthwhile, and to be pursued, and what is unreal and to be rejected. One should be free from desires for worldly life, progeny, and possessions. Sri Ramakrishna said that this path is not suitable for the Kali Yuga, for the present age, where people's lives are more dependent on food, he said. Then comes the Treta Yuga, the second age. Treta Yuga, we know Sri Ramachandra lived in Treta Yuga. We'll be celebrating Ram Navami pretty quickly soon, next month. That have Ramana happened in the Treta Yuga. During that age, the main spiritual practice was to perform elaborate Vedic sacrifices. In the Puranas, in the Ramayana, we read that the rishis used to perform Vedic sacrifices in their forest hermitages, and the Rakshasas, demons, were going there to disturb those Vedic rituals and create havoc. We read about that in the Puranas. That all happened in the second age, Treta Yuga. And Rama and Lakshmana were called upon to drive away those Rakshasas who were creating havoc when the rishis were trying to do ritualistic Vedic sacrifices. Then the third age, Dwapara Yuga, comes. In the Dwapara Yuga, emphasis shifted to the performance of ritualistic worship in temples and homes. Very elaborate ritualistic worship, Pratima Puja. In temples, they do very elaborate rituals, offering 64 different offerings, Chatushashti Upachara Puja. That became the major practice prevalent in the Dwapara Yuga. In the Kali Yuga, the present age, all those earlier methods of worship and practices are still somewhat prevalent. There are people still who meditate. There are people who still do ritualistic worship, and people who also do Vedic rituals. They're all there. But teachers like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Ramakrishna, and many other teachers, Prahlada, Narada, they have all taught the path of devotion as being most appropriate for this present age. That's the easiest path among all other things. Now let us turn our attention very briefly to the teachings of Narada. Narada taught devotion. According to Narada Rishi, devotion is supreme love of God. Many of you studied Narada's devotional aphorism, Narada Bhakti Sutra with Swamiji here. So Narada defines devotion as Sato Asmin Parama Premarupa, supreme love for God. That is, not qualified by any desire, motivated by any desire, that devotion, not prompted by fear, not seeking anything, pure devotion, just for the love of God. That is the type of devotion that Narada Maharshi preached, taught. And he said that two characteristics of this devotion, two things stand out in his teachings. One is, this kind of devotion consists of uninterrupted recollection of God, avyavarta bhajanat. All the time, without any interruption, the devotee thinks only of God, of his chosen ideal. That is one, uninterrupted recollection, devotion. Second thing is, if there is a little forgetfulness in that uninterrupted recollection, the devotee feels great sense of remorse. Another thing Narada emphasized was offering all our work as offering to the divine. So he said, avyavarta bhajanat, uninterrupted recollection. Second thing is, tadarpit akhila acharata, offering all our actions to the Lord as our offering. Tadvismarane, if you forget to remember our chosen ideal, remember God even for a short time, paramavyakulata, devotee becomes greatly remorseful. Why did I forget the Lord even for a short space of time? Those are the main characteristics of Narada's devotion. The same thing was also mentioned by Chaitanya. Jyotirai Mahaprabhu in the Shikshashtakam, which has come many times. Shikshashtakam is a hymn composed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, contains 8 stanzas containing instructions on how to pray. There Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says same thing. A true devotee of God has to be constantly in communion with the chosen ideal, not forgetting the Lord even for a short moment. Even for a short space of time, if a devotee forgets God, the devotee feels great sense of sadness and remorse. Yuga yitam nimeshena chakshusha pravrisha yitam shunya yitam jagat sarvam Govinda virahename. Govinda viraha means separation from the Lord Govinda. Even for a short space of time, yuga nimeshana means for a twinkling of an eye, if I forget my Lord, yuga yitam, that appears like a long period of time. Even for a short time, if I don't see a beloved person, it looks like I have not seen him in a long time. It happens. Chakshusha pravrisha yitam. Tears of repentance flow copiously from the eyes of the devotee, as if monsoon season has started. Chakshusha pravrishayitam. Shunyayitam jagat sarvam. Whole world becomes empty, meaningless. Without God, everything else is there, nothing makes sense. It is the divine presence that makes everything meaningful, that makes everything come alive and becomes very dear to us. So that is the nature of devotion, uninterrupted recollection of God, that Narada Maharshi and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and other teachers taught. Narada Maharshi also said another thing. Other teachers also have emphasized the constant repetition of the name of God. Constantly repeating the name of God, that we are remaining in touch with our chosen ideal. Narada Maharshi says, Lokepi Bhagavad Gunashramana Kirtanat. Even when you are engaged in worldly duties, even in the midst of our worldly duties, Bhagavad Gunashramana Kirtanam Kirtanat. We should chant the names and glories of God, and we should listen to the chanting of the names and glories of God. That is also what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. For the Kali Yuga, chanting the name of Hari is the only way. Other ways are available, but they are more difficult. This anybody can do. Harir nama, harir nama, harir nama eva kevalam kalau nastyeva nastyeva gatiranyata. In the Kali Yuga, there is no other way, there is no other way. Chanting Hari's name is the only way, the best way, the simplest way. Doable. Anybody can do that one. Narada Maharshi and Sri Ramakrishna both emphasize the importance of holy company. That we don't have to dwell. Importance of holy company, that has come so many times. But one other thing that almost all the teachers have in common is they also introduced an element of renunciation and practice in devotion. Narada Maharshi in one of his aphorisms says, a devotee seeking pure devotion should renounce objects of enjoyment and attraction towards them. That means the pure devotion can be attained by renouncing desire for worldly objects, vishayatyagat, and by giving up attachment, sangatyagatcha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya also taught the same thing. When you pray to God, Satyana Mahaprabhu said, don't ask for anything of a worldly nature. Don't ask for money. Don't ask for wealth and fame and all the worldly things. Ask for only for pure devotion. In the Shikshashtakam, in that hymn he composed, Satyana Mahaprabhu said, Nadhanam, Nadhanam, Nasundarim, Kavitam, Vajagadishakamaye, Mama Janmani, Janmani, Ishware, Bhavatad, Bhakti Rahai, Tuki, Twai. O Lord Ishwara, Jagadishwara, Lord of the universe, I'm not seeking wealth. I'm not seeking people, progeny. I'm not seeking a beautiful spouse. I'm not seeking literary merit, ability to write poetry, etc. But I want one thing from you. Mama Janmani, Janmani, in all my births, in this present birth, and if I have to take births in the future, in all the future births also, Twai Ishwari, in you, O Lord, Ahetuki Bhakti Bhavatat, may I have pure devotion to the lotus feet. Grant me that much. That also we know what Sri Ramakrishna always asked for, that only for pure devotion. He said, I don't want Lokamano, worldly fame. I don't want to eat the occult, eight occult powers. I don't want anything. I want only pure devotion to the lotus feet. That prayer, famous prayer we know. That was the only thing that the devotee sought from the beloved Lord. Now, in the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, Sri Ramakrishna made comments on the devotion taught by earlier teachers like Narada, Prahlada, and Hanuman. Sri Ramakrishna mentioned that the devotion practiced by Prahlada and Hanuman were combined with knowledge. I'm reading from the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, pages 811 and 822. This is what Sri Ramakrishna said. While Prahlada dwelt on the plane of the Supreme Reality, he maintained the attitude of I am He. But when he climbed down to the physical plane, he would look on himself as a servant of God. This is what exactly Hanuman also did. Hanuman also sometimes said, I am He. Sometimes I am the servant of God. And sometimes I am a part of God. Hanuman's love for God was mixed with knowledge, but Narada's love for God was pure and unadulterated. So we know that famous stanza which has come many times. When Sri Rama asked Hanuman, this is also from the Gospel, I'm reading. Rama asked Hanuman, Hanuman, what attitude do you cherish towards me when you worship me? Hanuman answered, sometimes I see that you are the whole and I am a part. Sometimes I see that you are the master and I am your servant. But Rama, when I have the knowledge of reality, then I find that you and I are, you are I and I am you. This was Hanuman's reply. Deha buddhyata dasoham, jiva buddhyatva damshakah, atma buddhyatva mevaham, itame nishchita matihi. This was Hanuman's reply to Sri Rama. Then Sri Rama asked him, how do you look upon me when you worship me? Deha buddhyata dasoham, when I think of that I am the body, I am the Hanuman, I am this Hanuman, then I am your servant. When I think I am an individual jiva, then I am a part of you. You are the Paramatman, I am the Jivatman. Atma buddhya, when I think I am the self, Tvamevaham, I am you are me. There is no separation. Or it's only one Atman. This is what Hanuman's experience was. Hanuman and Prahlada, they traveled the whole gamut from absolute monism to separation, duality, devotee and the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna has talked about all the yogas. Among them, he seems to emphasize Bhakti Yoga. At the end of the 11th chapter, after revealing his cosmic form, Vishwarupa, Sri Krishna says that the experience that Arjuna had, that was granted to Arjuna, revelation of the cosmic form, could be achieved only by pure devotion, not by the study of Vedas, not by a lot of austerities, not by doing a lot of charities, not by doing elaborate Vedic rituals, but only by pure devotion. Naham vedair na tapasa, na danena na chejaya, shakya evam vidho drashtam drishtava nisimam yatha. Just as you have seen my cosmic form, Sri Krishna revealed his cosmic form to Arjuna. And he says, this kind of revelation can be had only by pure devotion. Anyanyaya bhaktya eva. Bhaktyatvaninyaya eva shakyo aham evam vidho Arjuna. Pure devotion is the only way to gain that kind of vision of the Lord. That was what Sri Krishna said to Arjuna after revealing his cosmic form. He emphasized the path of devotion. But the qualities of a true devotee of God that Sri Krishna elaborately described at the end of the 12th chapter are very similar to the qualities of a Sita Prajna, a person of sage of steady wisdom, which he described at the end of the second chapter. We studied that in our Sunday services some time ago. The qualities of a devotee are more or less same as the qualities of a Chistata Prajna. These are traits such as equanimity in pain and pleasure, praise and blame, loss and gain, compassion towards all beings, forbearance, etc. These are the qualities of a true devotee of God, according to Sri Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Now we turn our attention to the teachings of Sri Ramakrishna. Like other earlier teachers of devotion, Sri Ramakrishna taught the same traditional devotional practices, such as repeating the name of God, chanting his glories, listening to the chanting of his glories, seeking holy company, practicing truthfulness, prayer in solitude. These are all the things that other teachers taught. Sri Ramakrishna also taught these things. In the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, we read that whenever somebody asked him the question, "Sir, what is the way?" That question came up many times. What is the way to realize God? Sri Ramakrishna said that the way of devotion, as taught by Narada, was the best suited for the present Kali Yuga. Many times he gave this reply. He said, in the Kali Yuga, the best way is Bhakti Yoga, the path of devotion, singing the praises of the Lord, and prayer. The path of devotion alone is the religion for this age. Devotion, I'm reading from the Gospel. Devotion, as described by Narada, is suited to the Kali Yuga. It means to chant constantly the names and glories of God. Let those who have no leisure to chant constantly the names and glories of God, let them worship God at least morning and evening by wholeheartedly chanting his name and clapping their hands. Constantly you have to chant the name and glories of God and give up worldly thoughts as much as you can. Teaching Sri Ramakrishna from the Gospel. One should constantly repeat the name of God. The name of God is highly effective in the Kali Yuga. The practice of yoga is not possible in this age, for the life of man depends on food. Clap your hands while repeating God's name, and the birds of your sin will fly away. If a man repeats the name of God, his body, mind, and everything will become pure. On several occasions, Sri Ramakrishna also mentioned the path of knowledge. He did. Once a devotee asked the question, "Sir, what is the way?" Sri Ramakrishna said, this on Gospel page 385. Sri Ramakrishna said, discrimination between the real and the unreal, one should always discriminate to the effect that God alone is real and the world unreal. and one should pray with sincere longing. He talked about Viveka Vairagya quite a few times. When a Marwadi devotee asked the same question, "Sir, what is the way?" This is what Sri Ramakrishna replied. This is on Gospel page 179. There are two ways. One is the path of discrimination. The other is the path of love. Discrimination means to know the distinction between the real and the unreal. God alone is the real and permanent substance. All else is illusory and impermanent. The magician alone is real. His magic is illusory. This is discrimination. He talked about Vairagya several times. Discrimination and renunciation. Discrimination means to know the distinction between the real and the unreal. Renunciation means to have dispassion for the things of the world. One cannot acquire them all of a sudden. They must be practiced every day. One should renounce women and gold mentally first. Then, by the will of God, one can renounce it both mentally and outwardly. But very often he would say that this path of inquiry and self-knowledge is very difficult and not suitable for most people in the Kali Yuga. This is what he said on several occasions from the Gospel. The path of knowledge is extremely difficult. One cannot obtain jnana if one has the least trace of worldliness and the slightest attachment to woman and gold. By woman and gold, he meant lust and greed. This is not the path for the Kali Yuga. The path of knowledge is very difficult. One cannot obtain knowledge unless one gets rid of the feeling that one is the body. In the Kali Yuga, the life of a man is centered on food. He cannot get rid of the feeling that he is the body and the ego. Therefore, the path of devotion is prescribed for this cycle. This is an easy path. You will attain God if you sing his name and glories and pray to him with a longing heart. There is not the least doubt about it. All that I have just said belongs to the realm of reasoning. Brahman alone is real and the world illusory. That is reasoning. And everything but Brahman is like a dream. But this is an extremely difficult path. To one who follows it, even the divine play in the world becomes like a dream and appears unreal. His I also vanishes. I means this, the ego vanishes. The followers of this path do not accept the divine incarnation. It's a very difficult path. The lovers of God should not hear much of such reasoning. So, path of knowledge is not suitable for Kali Yuga. This is what he was saying. And continuing his teaching, that is why God incarnates himself as a man and teaches people the path of devotion. He exhorts people to cultivate self-surrender to God. Following the path of devotion, one realizes everything through his grace, both knowledge and supreme wisdom. To follow Jnana Yoga in this age is also very difficult. First, a man's life depends entirely on food. Second, he has a short span of life. Third, he can by no means get rid of body consciousness. And the knowledge of Brahman is impossible without the destruction of body consciousness. The jnani says, "I am Brahman. I am not the body. I am beyond hunger and thirst, disease and grief, birth and death, pleasure and pain. How can you be a jnani if you are conscious of disease, grief, pain, pleasure and the like?" Therefore, Bhakti Yoga is prescribed for this age. By following this path, one comes to God more easily than by following the others. One can undoubtedly reach God by following the paths of jnana and karma, but they are very difficult paths. Now, Sri Ramakrishna added something, an extra dimension in his teachings, in addition to the traditional devotional practices. Devotional practices such as chanting the name of God, chanting, listening to the chanting of names and glories of God, holy company, prayer in solitude, all those things other teachers also taught, Sri Ramakrishna also taught. But he added one other thing. Sri Ramakrishna frequently exhorted seekers to constantly practice discrimination between the real and the unreal, viveka. You don't see about viveka in the Narada Bhakti Sutra or in the teachings of other teachers like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although he said, give up, do not seek wealth, pleasure, etc. But Sri Ramakrishna makes it very specific and very clear. Sri Ramakrishna said that by following the path of devotion, one could also attain self-knowledge. Bhakti Yoga is the religion for this age. But the bhakta wants to realize the personal God endowed with form and talk to him. He seldom seeks the knowledge of Brahman. But God, who does everything at his pleasure, can make his devotee the heir to his infinite glories if it pleases him. He gives his devotee both the love of God and the knowledge of Brahman. So this is what Sri Ramakrishna said. By following the path of devotion, one can also achieve knowledge of the self. It's somewhat different from the teachings of other teachers. He said, by realizing the divine mother of the universe, you will get knowledge as well as devotion. You will get both. The divine mother gives her devotee Brahma Jnana too. Sri Ramakrishna spoke about devotion and knowledge as being the same in their final stage. Though there are differences between them in the beginning stages of spiritual practice. In the Gospel, he said, page 811, perfect jnana and perfect bhakti are one and the same thing. A man reasons saying, not this, not this. He rejects the unreal. When his reasoning comes to an end, he attains the knowledge of Brahman. Then he accepts what he rejected before. A man carefully climbs to the roof, rejecting the steps one by one. After reaching the roof, he realizes that the steps are made of the same materials as the roof, namely brick, lime, and brick dust. One constant refrain that we notice in the teachings of Sri Ramakrishna is his emphasis on his call for renunciation of woman and gold, kamanikaja, which means lust and greed. And he said devotion can be combined with knowledge. If you practice devotion, you will get knowledge also. In Sri Ramakrishna's teachings on devotion, we notice something unique. While Narada, Sri Chaitanya and Sri Ramakrishna all taught renunciation of worldly pleasures and wealth, Sri Ramakrishna added one more important instruction, that is the practice of discrimination and renunciation, viveka and vairagya, discrimination between the real and the unreal. He said, together with this practice of spiritual discipline in solitude, you must practice discrimination. Woman and gold is impermanent. God is the only eternal substance. What does a man get with money? Food, clothes, and a dwelling place. Nothing more. You cannot realize God with its help. Once a neighbor asked Sri Ramakrishna, he was talking about discrimination several times, and this neighbor asked him, sir, what is discrimination? Sri Ramakrishna replied, discrimination is the reasoning by which one knows God alone is real and all else unreal. Real means eternal, and unreal means impermanent. He who has acquired discrimination knows that God is the only substance and all else is non-existent. Not non-existent, existent but not permanent, always changing, coming and going. That is unreal. This is what Shankara also taught. Many of you are studying Viveka Chudamani here with Swamiji. Shankara said, Viveka means Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya Iti Evam Rupo Vinishchaya. A firm conviction that Brahman alone is real and this world Jagat is unreal. Unreal means it comes and goes, it is not always present, it is always changing. But Brahman is the ultimate absolute truth, always there, unchanging, eternal, infinite, attributeless, formless. And that is the distinction between real and unreal. That is what Sri Ramakrishna talked about. With the awakening of this spirit of discrimination, a man wants to know God. On the contrary, if a man loves the unreal, such things as creature comforts, name, fame, and wealth, then he does not want to know God, who is of the very nature of reality. Through this discrimination between the real and the unreal, one seeks to know God. Then on another occasion, Sri Ramakrishna said, one may enter the world after attaining discrimination and dispassion. What Shankara calls Viveka, Viveka and Vairagyam. Discrimination is the knowledge of what is real and what is unreal. It is the realization of God alone is the real and eternal substance, and that all else is unreal, transitory, and impermanent. This teaching he gave several times. So I conclude, in the teachings of Sri Ramakrishna, we notice one thing. Whenever the question, what is the way for God realization, came up, Sri Ramakrishna prescribed the path of devotion, generally. Path of devotion as taught by Narada. But with one difference. While he taught the traditional devotional practices, such as repetition of God's name, chanting his glories, listening to his glories, holy company, seeking holy company, prayer in solitude, practice of truthfulness, etc., which were also taught by other teachers of devotion such as Narada, Prahlada, Sri Chaitanya and others, Sri Ramakrishna added an additional dimension, that is discrimination and renunciation. Discrimination and renunciation are the foundations of the path of inquiry and knowledge, Viveka and Vairagyam. According to Sri Ramakrishna, the path of devotion combined with knowledge, that means combined with the practice of Viveka and Vairagya, discrimination between the real and the unreal, and renunciation of lust and greed, which he called woman and gold, that is the path best suited for the Kali Yuga. Path of devotion combined with the elements of the disciplines of the path of knowledge. So that is what we gather from his teachings in the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna. Now there'll be one more song. Let us reflect for a few minutes.
सर्वे भवन्तु सुखिनः सर्वे सन्तु निरामयाः सर्वे भद्राणि पश्यन्तु मा कश्चित् दुःखभाग् भवेत् ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ मे ऑल बी हैप्पी मे ऑल बी फ्री फ्रॉम डिसीजेस मे ऑल रियलाइज व्हाट इज नोबल एंड ऑस्पिशियस मे नो वन बी सब्जेक्ट टू मिजरी Om peace. May there be peace in our hearts, Adhyatmika Shanti. May there be peace and harmony amongst all beings, Adhibhautika Shanti. And may there be peace everywhere in nature, Adhidaivika Shanti. Harihi Om Tat Sat Sarvam Sri Ramakrishna Arpanamastu.